big tech has its wires crossed, at least by common sensibilities, by things that I would say a moral, ethical nation would find to be disgusting. These are the things that are not protected on big tech sites, such as Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Satanism, pedophilia, things that would normally disgust a lucid and, again, moral or ethical or biblically minded American. But on the other hand, if you want to talk about, say, Christian values, biblical worldviews, biblical perspectives as it pertains to things like transgenderism, like pedophilia, like Satanism, well, then you're a bigot and your speech will be suppressed and you will be summarily removed from these sites. That's the state of our nation right now. And it's very disgusting. It's very worrisome. This article came from Natural News, title, Big Tech Aggressively Censoring Religious Content in Groups, All While Protecting Satanism and Pedophilia. A new report from the Napa Legal Institute found that Big Tech is now censoring religious groups and figureheads at a rate of about one per week. And I would say that that's a very conservative estimate. I would say that perhaps people that are maybe less high profile on these sites are getting banned, swept under the rug, and nobody's even noticing. You know, there was no article on Natural News when Knock Report was taken down off of YouTube or Freedom First Network. I should say, technically, Knock Report, we're only on our second strike, so we're on the verge of being taken out. But Freedom First Network's Facebook page, or I'm sorry, YouTube channel was taken down. Knock Report's Twitter account is gone, taken down. So I would say this figure of one per week is probably light, probably conservative. Even as these same tech platforms protect and even promote pedophilia and Satanists. LifeSite News, for example, had its YouTube channel permanently removed and banned by Google back in February based on the excuse that it was spreading, quote, COVID-19 misinformation. Google, which owns YouTube, declined any further explanation for the move, which resulted in all of LSN's videos being deleted without notice. Based on early flagging incident, LSN believes Google took issue with a video it published of a Catholic bishop warning against Wuhan coronavirus vaccines that contain ingredients made from aborted human fetal tissue. According to LSN's editor-in-chief, quote, our best guess is that the channel was taken down for our frank and factual discussion of the controversy around abortion-tainted medicines and vaccines. Back in January, Bishop Kevin Doran, an Irish Catholic, incurred similar wrath from Twitter after he tweeted a message about how assisted suicide, quote, is not an expression of freedom or dignity, end quote, as is claimed by its proponents. Twitter not only removed the offensive tweet, but also banned Bishop Doran from further tweeting of anything. Massive public opposition later prompted Twitter to reverse the ban, but this does not always happen depending on the popularity of the person or account that was targeted. And like I said, I mean, you know, for every Bishop Doran that we know about, there's Reverend Bob and Pastor Eric and whatever, you know, Rabbi Ari. They're getting banned on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Periscope, Instagram, Pinterest. These big tech tyrants are out there banning them, and it's not making news. And it's sad because the place where a lot of us talk about these things are on big tech platforms. And that's unfortunate. You know, we were suckered into this. And when I say suckered, we were the suckers. It's not like we were conned. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, we couldn't have seen it coming. We saw it coming, folks. The very latest we should have seen it coming was when they started taking out people like Alex Jones, Laura Loomer, Milo Yiannopoulos, those types of people. You know, we equated them as the fringe. Oh, they're right-leaning or conservative or whatever, but they're fringe. They won't come after us standard conservatives or inoffensive Christians or whatever. No. No, as it turns out, that's not the case. They are coming after us. coming after us hard. We should have seen it back then. We should have known that was the slippery slope. That was the natural progression of things. Folks, these big tech companies, whether they'll admit it or not, and usually they won't, from the top to bottom, from CEO down to intern, they are populated by very left-leaning, often radically progressive people with Marxist mindsets, with authoritarianism in their blood. These are people that generally speak, and I have a friend who is a conservative. He's a closet conservative. He doesn't post anything. Oh, if you didn't know him personally, you'd think, oh, he's just a standard Facebook employee who's, he's terrified. He literally is terrified. I've told him many times, dude, just quit. He's like, I can't. I love it here. It's like, how do you love being around all that progressivism? He's like, it's, separation of work life and home life. Hey, look, I respect that. I couldn't do it. But I respect that he's able to make that differentiation. But he says, look, it's bad. I mean, the conversations are always political or cultural or religious, whether at lunch, whether walking through the halls. They're not talking about geek stuff. Like I think a lot of people think, oh, they're over there at Facebook and Twitter. They're just talking about algorithms and, ones and zeros, binary. It's not the case. Okay. These are, generally speaking, these are social justice warriors. They have gone to work for these companies with the intention of, number one, making good money and putting their skills to use, which is fine and admirable and part of the American dream. But number two, because they know that they have, in many ways, in many cases, either a certain level of power over the conversation, because these are conversation points. These are the quote-unquote platforms through which Americans and the world converse. So they either have the power now or they're planning on getting the power later. And he said this is ubiquitous. This is something that everybody talks about. They can't wait till they get to do this. They get to do that. They get to start changing policy, setting policy. They get to get their finger on the ban button, the suppression button. They debate over, should this have gotten taken down? And it's not a debate from a free speech perspective. It's like, well, I can't believe this is still up there. Look at what this Christian is saying. Look what this Jew is saying. These are the conversations that they're having at these tech companies. We've seen Project Veritas. We've seen them. They generally go after the top, and that's fine. That's part of their gig. But I would love for them to just talk to the, get people in there and record conversations from the troops, from the lower level people that are, and we'll get to see exactly what I've been told, what's been described to me by my closet conservative friend at Facebook. Also in February, Twitter blocked a post from Daily Citizen, a news source run by Focus on the Family, that respectfully challenged the underlying premise of transgenderism. Twitter ultimately decided to suspend the Daily Citizen account because of the post. Other victims of big tech censorship include the Catholic World Report, Ryan T. Anderson of the Ethics and Public Policy Center, Paul Kenger, author of, quote, The Devil and Karl Marx, and Cary Gress, who wrote a book on rescuing the culture from toxic femininity. Kimberly Cook's Motherhood Redeemed, which is a book that challenges feminism in the modern world, is not allowed to be advertised on Facebook, while the Susan B. Anthony list has repeatedly been, quote, fact-checked by Facebook for making, quote, misleading claims, and the list goes on and on and on and on. We have actually experienced. I'm not proud to admit that we did look into Facebook advertising at one point, and we were summarily rejected. It's like, no, were we spreading bad stuff? Like, oh my gosh, were we talking about, like, I don't know, insurrection? Were we calling for armed revolt? Were we talking about spreading white supremacy or anything like that? No, our posts are generally about, election integrity. Deep state stuff. China, Bill Gates, vaccines, lockdowns. These are things that are now anathema. And especially when we're talking about the gospel. I remember I did try to push for an article that I wrote a while back. Seven life lessons we can learn from the book of Daniel. It's a very popular story, very popular post. It used to get tons of traffic every single day through Google. Google doesn't like us anymore because as a big tech tyrant, we're now coming up on nearly a year since they essentially blacklisted us, not officially. Okay, not with warning, not with an email or anything in my webmaster tools that say, hey, you did this or that. No, this is all behind the scenes. It's all algorithmic. I watch traffic from Google go from very high to essentially nil. And yeah, it is what it is. It is what it is. According to this article, in the world of big tech, good is evil and evil is good. And if you've read your Bible, you are very familiar. You should be very familiar with that phrase. I'm sure they do quote it later on in the article. Continuing. Meanwhile, Reddit moderators of the trans variety are spreading child pornography across the platform with the blessing of the big tech gods, which have no problem with child sex trafficking and other perversions. The movie Cuties continues to be streamed on Netflix, and Jack Dorsey has enshrined in the Twitter platform's terms of service that free speech, quote, rights of pedophiles must be protected. At the same time, criticizing pedophiles on Twitter is a violation of community standards. Isaiah 5:20 warns about all this. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. By promoting what is evil and prohibiting what is good, Twitter, Facebook, Google, and the rest are revealing to the world their true purpose. They are also fulfilling Bible prophecy, which promises that all such evil will eventually be dealt with in good measure. There's a quote from a commenter on the Gateway Pundit article about pedophiles and their watchdogs, the tech overlords, who will protect them, their deviancy against innocent children. Quote, 30 or 40 years ago, these freaks would have been hanged by parents, but now they are designated by the left as a protected group. This country is profoundly sick, wrote another commenter. And all of this is very true. We are faced with this, and yeah, I can keep going on about, oh, we should have seen it coming. We should have seen it coming. You know, we had the blessing, the insight, the whatever you could say, predictive abilities to see a little bit ahead of time. We didn't see it when we should have. I mean, I'm not proud when I say we used to get tons of traffic from Google. You know, if I could go back, I wouldn't get any traffic from Google. I wouldn't block them, but I mean, I should never have depended on them in the first place. We shouldn't have been building up these YouTube channels. We had an extremely popular Facebook page that is gone. We had a relatively popular YouTube channel that is gone. I think my Knock Report Twitter account had some, I don't know, 20,000, 30,000 followers, likes, whatever. It's gone. We saw it coming before, you know, well before the election. We started really focusing on this back in, we'll call it mid-2019, maybe even late 2019 was when we really started focusing on it. That was when I was starting to get a lot of warnings, fact-check warnings. Yeah, one of them was ridiculous. It was about, yeah, I was stating factually, this was information that I pulled from Australian press that there had been like 215 arrests for arson during the bushfires of 2019, early 2020. If you recall those, you know, there was this big hoopla about, oh my gosh, global warming is literally burning Australia to the ground. And yet nobody was reporting. Nobody, very few were reporting about the arsonists, the sharp rise in arsonists who were setting fires, who were the direct cause of the vast majority of what was happening. But no, it had to have been global warming. That's the only acceptable narrative when there's anything like this. Can't be the arsonists. The arsonists wouldn't have been able to be as successful, apparently, if, you know, it wasn't for global warming. I'm not sure how that works. You know, to me, arsonists, they doesn't matter whether there's climate change, global warming or not. As long as there's not a torrential rainstorm outside, they're probably going to be able to burn some stuff down. That's kind of the nature of, you know, arson. They don't look for, you know, what is the What are the CO2 levels in this area before I burn it down? What's happening with the ozone layer? I don't know. I mean, that's just, they just burn stuff, and that stuff, especially if it's dry, you say, oh my gosh, but that's, if it's dry, then that's global warming, you know, because apparently in Australia during the summer, when it's always dry and has always been dry, don't even get me started. Anyway, that's when I first started noticing it. That's when I realized that, oh my gosh, this isn't just, they're not just going after Alex Jones and Laura Loomer and Milo Yiannopoulos. They're going after anybody. They're going after us. Holy crap. Why didn't I see this coming? I should have seen it coming. We should have all seen it coming instead. So many of us, too many of us, have put too much of a time and effort investment into Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. They became the platforms through which so much conversation, so many discussions, so much discourse can and should be happening. But then they cut us off. They cut us off first slowly and now rapidly. And it's getting to the point to where if you are a Christian, if you believe in a Judeo-Christian worldview, your speech, your thoughts, they're not going to be allowed. So what is the solution? You know, I've said for a long time, stay on the platforms, okay? Just don't stay on there in fear. I tweet what I want. I don't Facebook at all. I haven't Facebooked for a long time. I'm just not a Facebook guy. Rarely do we post anything on YouTube, even when we're not in a suspension mode, which we currently are. But stay on the platforms until they kick you off. And then when they kick you off, be ready for it, and who cares? But in the meantime, we need to start organizing and participating in other alternatives. Gab, Parler, MeWe. You know, you can find some. You can find one. You can find five. You can find 10. Minds. I like Minds. CloudHub. Okay, watched a nice interview with Jeff Brain, the founder of CloudHub. This guy, you know, he saw it coming. That's why he built a site. Locals. Freedom First Network. We are on Locals, and this is where we are in the process of moving all of our stuff. We're just waiting for live streaming. Once live streaming is available on Locals, which they say, I talked to a representative from there 2 days ago. They told me, yes, it's coming. Live streaming is coming. We're working on it. We're going into beta soon, so be ready. Once live streaming comes, we're going to be putting everything on Locals. We already are putting most of the stuff, but we're really going to be putting a focus, including putting written content, not just podcasts or shows or whatever. We're going to be putting a lot of stuff there. So I do encourage you, go to FFN. That stands for Freedom First Network. FFN, Foxtrot, Foxtrot November, .locals, plural, .com. FFN.locals.com. Sign up. It's free. You'll get all of our content there. If you're watching us on YouTube, we're not going to be there for long. They're going to get rid of us. There's no way we can survive. Okay. With the stuff that we talk about, are you serious? I mean, I just the sheer fact of mentioning transgender supremacy on this particular show, it's probably going to get us banned. Okay. Same thing with Facebook. Facebook has been relatively mild compared to YouTube. They're not even close to being as draconian, but their fact checkers are. We get fact checked to oblivion in many cases. We used to get a lot of, you know, I mean, it'd be shocking if we had a Facebook post that didn't have, you know, 4 digits worth of likes and shares and whatever. Now we're lucky if we get into the double digits. We have been suppressed. It isn't always just about banning. It isn't always just about straight up censorship. Sometimes it's algorithmic. They will, and their algorithm is manually designed. I'm not just saying algorithm to try to take the onus off of the actual people behind it, but their algorithm is designed to take content like ours and suppress it. And then to take content like, you know, the folks over at Vox talking about, oh my gosh, go get vaccinated, hurry. Or the people at BuzzFeed, oh my gosh, here's 10 reasons why you're a Disney princess. You know, whether you're transgender or not, I don't even know what kind of content they put up there anymore. It's been so long since I've actually read BuzzFeed. You know, that kind of content that gets amplified. It's about amplification and suppression. Suppress the stuff they don't like, amplify the stuff they do like. That's what they do. Amplify CNN, suppress Breitbart. Amplify New York Times, suppress the Gateway Pundit. That's what they do. And some will say we need to fight it. I'm not going to hold my breath. Yeah, it would be nice if Josh Hawley, Ted Cruz, and some of the others would actually step up and be able to do something. But number one, that's questionable whether they even can without control of the House and the Senate and the White House. Number two, when they did have control, they did a lot of talking. I'm not trying to rip on them. I don't know the behind the scenes, you know, back and forth, the plight that they had to go through. Maybe there's a reason why we never really saw anything happening with Section 230, even though President Trump pushed for it, demanded it, and yet nothing. Maybe it's just because Mitch McConnell really loves Section 230. I don't know. I don't know why nothing ever happened, but it didn't. So I'm not going to hold my breath. I will look more to the states. Okay. We're seeing states acting, Texas, Florida. They're starting to come out and try to do things against big tech, against censorship. And that's good. But again, I'm still not holding my breath. Do not rely on them for complete transparency. We are pushing to build our own platform. I know what you're thinking. You're like, oh my gosh, Mike Lindell's building a platform. President Trump may be building a platform. Everybody's building a platform. Why would we build one? Ours actually is truly different. Can't go into detail yet because we are still seeking investors. But we have a series of novel ideas that we believe are necessary. It's not just about creating an alternative to Twitter or Facebook or YouTube. This is about a paradigm shift. And that's why we are very excited. The group that I'm working with, we're ecstatic. So be sure to watch out for that and pray. I mean, you know, we can say get onto alternatives and talk about it and share and all this other stuff. Prayer is, I mean, folks, they're coming after us. If you are a Christian, you are the ultimate target, period. Okay. Suppression of conservatives, that's important to them, but that's not their end goal. Their end goal is the Christian side of it. And I should be very clear to give a broader, wider range. The Judeo-Christian worldview that is the basis through which, you know, most major Christ-believing religions do focus on a Judeo-Christian worldview. Or I should say we're born from that worldview, born from a biblical worldview. And if you share a biblical worldview, then that means that you are being targeted. I am being targeted. It's going to get worse, much worse. Big tech is not going to allow us. They need us to stop because we are the ones that, you know, it's not going to be the Republican Party that saves us. If we can be saved, it will be through the body of Christ. It will be because the church, empowered by the Holy Spirit, is able to overcome this. We need divine intervention because they have everything. They have mainstream media. They have the big tech giants. They've controlled the House, the Senate, and the White House. They have everything they need to destroy us. We gave it to them. We allowed it to happen. You can say, oh, but they cheated this and they've been plotting that. Look, I had a conversation earlier today with someone who noted, look, while we're here, we're reacting to what's happening. They've been planning, they being the radical progressives, the neo-Marxists, the cultural Marxists, the leftist academics, the globalists, the deep state, New World Order, the swamp, whatever you want to call it. They've been planning this stuff for decades. Meanwhile, we've been reacting to the news of the day. We've got to stop. We've got to take this from a 30,000 foot view, see what's happening and address it. That doesn't mean we don't focus on the day-to-day as well, but we've got to diversify. We've got to get out there. We have a country to save, and it's not going to save itself. And if we allow it to go in the direction that it's heading, following these big tech tyrants, listening to the propaganda through mainstream media, sending our kids unprepared to areas of institutions of indoctrination, better known as schools, public schools, universities. If we continue down this track, we're not going to survive. Okay, we will be engulfed by the globalists if we're not just completely destroyed, wiped off the map first. I'm deadly serious about this stuff. This is why I'm working on four different projects, eight different projects, whatever. This is why I don't sleep much. This is why my original quest a week or week and a half ago of reducing the time I spend on podcasts, it failed miserably. I've increased the time that I spend doing these podcasts. I was putting out an hour a day. Now I'm putting out, you know, one show, an hour, hour and a half a day. That I was trying to reduce that. It's turned into two shows, 30 minutes to an hour a day each. So, yeah. But again, these are important. This is important information. Okay. I don't like taking stories if they're not important. I don't like interviewing guests who are not important. And I'm not talking about important because they're famous. I'm talking about important because they're fighters. Okay. I would venture the vast majority of you have never heard of Pastor Sam Jones. This guy is a fighter. He fights. Put out a book, Five Steps to Kill a Nation and How to Stop It from Happening. He has solutions, and his solutions should get out there. So when I say, you know, I go after, you know, important guests, big guests, it has nothing to do with the size of their audience. Now, granted, okay, so we've got Mike Lindell coming up. We've got had an interview earlier with Melissa Tate. She's fantastic. You know, we're talking to generals, doctors, quote unquote, important people. But again, my focus is on the message. My focus is on getting the people who are actually out there fighting. You won't see me. Let me take a step back. I don't want to make this about me. We all have to keep fighting. If you're just listening to this, watching this, you can help spread the word. Be bold. Stand up. Make your voice heard. Or make somebody else's voice heard. Maybe, you know what? Not everybody is out there saying, oh, you know, I need to get on a podium, or I need to get in front of a camera, or I need to write a book about this. Sometimes it's just a matter of, hey, I like what this person's saying. I agree with what this person's saying. I like what they're doing. I'm going to share their stuff. I'm going to donate money to their cause. I'm going to tell my friends and family about it. It doesn't have to be everybody's out there banging on podiums, screaming and spitting into microphones as I lick my lips. Everybody has a way to contribute. And today, more than any other time in modern history, everybody needs to contribute in some way. If you're a patriot, if you're a conservative, if you're a Christian, if you're any of the above, all of the above, if you love this nation, love what it has been, love what it should be, love what it could be, and or hate what it is becoming. Hate the direction that we're heading, that we're being pushed down. Then do something about it. Lord willing, I will be back very soon with another episode. But in the meantime, you guys stay strong, stay safe, and God bless you.